DOJ IG just reported this year that there was thorough vetting by DHS and by the FBI of these Afghans who were brought into the U.S. So why do you blame the Biden administration?
Because they let them in. Are you stupid? Are you a stupid person? Because they came into on a plane along with thousands of other people that shouldn't be here. And you're just asking questions because you're a stupid person. And there's a law passed that it's almost impossible not to get them out. You can't get them out once they come in. And they came in, and they were unvetted. They were unchecked. There were many of them. And they came in on big planes, and it was disgraceful. And if you look, you'll see there was a law passed. It makes it almost impossible not to let them in, not to certify them, so to speak, once they come in. And they came in, and they shouldn't have come in. And frankly, the whole thing was a mess. The whole Afghanistan situation was a mess. It should have never taken place. If we're going to go out, and we would have gone out because I had everybody ready to go, we were going to go out with strength and dignity and precision, and we would have left from Bagram, and we would have kept Bagram, by the way, because of its very close relationship to China and where they make their missiles. But when you let the people come in by the thousands and thousands and thousands, they made a terrible mistake. But they were incompetent. Yeah.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, November the 28th, coming to you from Sofia, Bulgaria. Let's talk about some news. And before we get to the main news topics for today, how about hitting that like button? And maybe sharing this video out. And if you like this channel, you can subscribe to this channel. The choice is yours, but come on. Where else are you going to get the news as well as a travel vlog today from Sofia, Bulgaria? And you are also going to see some beautiful art, like this beautiful sculpture here in the city center of Sofia, Bulgaria. Art, travel, news. Come on, hit that like button. Come on. All right. Let's talk about today's news topics. And we've got a lot of ground to cover. So let's start it off with some breaking news, and that is the Nabu home and office raid of Alibaba. How's that for a title? Nabu raids the home and offices of Alibaba. Nabu, the Ukraine anti-corruption office set up by the collective West, by the United States and Europe back in 2015, they raided the home and offices of Andrei Yermak, Alensky's muscle, his entertainment lawyer, the man behind the curtain, Andrei Yermak, who was just in Geneva hanging out with Rubio, negotiating with U.S. Secretary of State Rubio. And many people in Ukraine, many media analysts in Ukraine, they claim that Zelensky sent Yermak to be the chief negotiator in Geneva in order to avoid Nabu investigators. But Nabu, today, this morning, they raided his home and his office. Anti-corruption investigators Nabu raid the home and offices of Zelensky's most trusted, closest advisor. Andrei Yermak, known as Alibaba, according to the Mindich audio recordings, the $100 million energy scandal, energy fraud in those audio tapes, those audio recordings. Andrei Yermak allegedly goes by the nickname of Alibaba, Baba Yaga, Ali G, Alibaba, Andrei Yermak. Alibaba, Green Goblin. It really is a clown world, isn't it? From the Daily Mail, anti-graft investigators search the home of Zelensky's chief of staff in new corruption embarrassment for Ukraine's president. And just yesterday, The Atlantic published an article where they interviewed Alibaba, and the title of the article is "Ukraine Says It Won't Give Up Land to Russia." Ukraine's chief negotiator, in an exclusive interview, says conceding sovereign territory is off limits in peace talks. Alibaba said that Zelensky, according to the Ukraine constitution, cannot sign any deal which gives up Ukraine territory, in reference to Trump's 28-point peace plan or the amended, 19-point peace plan or 9-point peace plan or whatever, whatever number it is. The issue of territory is something that the Green Goblin cannot sign off on, according to the Ukrainian constitution, according to an interview by The Atlantic with Andrei Yermak, who is now under investigation and whose office and home has been raided by the anti-corruption offices set up by the U.S. and the EU, known as Nabu and Sapo. Can't make this stuff up. So Zelensky, he was speaking to the Coalition of the Willing, a video meeting of Zelensky and the Coalition of the Willing. And you can see Zelensky sitting behind his desk, his office, with a big video TV screen of all the members of the very powerful Coalition of the Willing. And they're listening to Zelensky give an update on the situation in Ukraine, the situation on the front line, and the situation with the negotiations between the United States and Ukraine. And judging by the reactions of the participants of the Coalition of the Willing video conference, things are not looking good for Zelensky and the Coalition of the Willing. Beautiful, huh? The Alexander Nevsky Church. Alexander Nevsky, here in Sofia, Bulgaria. The Cathedral of Saint Alexander Nevsky. Let's go here, and then we'll walk towards the cathedral. Some more beautiful sculptures, monuments, statues. So the reaction from the High Commissioner, the top diplomat, Kaya Kallas, the leader of Albania, he's just like, oh my God. He's like, oh, how did we get into this mess? How did we get into this mess? Coalition of the losers. You have Meloni, the reaction from Meloni. Just a couple of weeks ago, she was hugging and hanging out with Zelensky, or a couple of months ago, she was hugging and hanging out with Zelensky, Meloni. And you can just see from her reaction that things are going really, really bad as Zelensky is briefing the Coalition of the Losers. Did I say losers? I meant Coalition of the Willing. My mistake. I misspoke. But Macron is the best. Little Napoleon, his reaction. Oh my God. What's going on here? What am I listening to? Little Napoleon. Macron. Yeah, that was his reaction, listening to Zelensky. So what do you do when a scandal like this breaks out, $100 million energy scandal, perhaps implicating Alensky's number two, Mr. Yermak, Alibaba. Who knows? Maybe it will even go all the way to the top. Maybe this Naboo investigation will even get the Green Goblin. What do you do if you are a country that is part of the collective West, part of the Five Eyes? Well, you give more money to Ukraine. That's what you do. Corruption scandal breaks out. Andrei Yermak's home and office is raided. What do you do if you are Australia and New Zealand? You decide to give $65 million to NATO so that they can send weapons to Project Ukraine. That is the announcement coming out of Australia and New Zealand. They join forces to fund NATO weapons for Ukraine. Bravo. Well done. Well done, Australia and New Zealand, the governments of Australia and New Zealand. What is that? What is down there? That looks interesting. Let's go check it out. $65 million, not much. Not much for Alensky and Yermak. That's a cup of coffee for those guys. So Christian Amanpour, she interviewed Kuleba the other day, the former foreign minister. Of Ukraine, who along with Reznikov, the former defense minister of Ukraine, they got out early. They got out of Project Ukraine early. Those are the two smartest guys right there. Kuleba and Reznikov. Remnants of, I can barely make it out, of the Turkish barracks. Is that what it says? I believe that's what it says. I'm not sure. 1873, it's hard to read. Fascinating. If there's anyone watching from Sofia, let us know in the comments down below what we're seeing here. So Kuleba, Reznikov, right? Those guys bolted a year ago, 2 years ago, before the Naboo, Sapo, and this entire collapse of the Alensky regime. And Christian Amanpour, a very sophisticated journalist and international correspondent, she enjoys interviewing Kuleba. She's had him on her show many times. And so she asked Kuleba, Mr. Former foreign minister of Ukraine, I'm Christian Amanpour, international correspondent and a very sophisticated journalist. What are your thoughts on the 28-point peace plan, which, by the way, Mr. Foreign Minister, according to my investigation, is 28 points. It is a 28-point peace plan with 28 points. What are your thoughts, Mr. Foreign Minister Kuleba? And Kuleba told Christian Amanpour, forget about the 28-point peace plan. The 28-point peace plan, he said, is a list of Russian ultimatums. And he basically said to forget about it. And then Christian Amanpour asked Kuleba, Mr. Kuleba, what do you make of the corruption investigations into Zelensky's administration? And then Kuleba said, corruption investigations. What corruption investigations? I gotta go. I got a yoga class that I need to get to. Christian, I'll see you later. What corruption? I'm just joking about that part. But anyway, yeah, that's Christian Amanpour interviewing the former
foreign minister, Kuleba, who, you have to give him credit, was smart enough to get off of the sinking ship. So let's now talk about Russian President Vladimir Putin, who was in Kyrgyzstan attending a CSTO meeting. I think that's what he was attending, a CSTO summit. And I believe that Russia is going to take over the presidency of the CSTO in a month or two. And he spoke to the media, and Putin, he basically said that there's going to be no 28-point peace plan in its current form. Forget about the Ukraine Rubio amended 19-point peace plan. He said forget about all that stuff. It's Istanbul Plus, at a minimum. Istanbul Plus, June 2024, root causes with regime change. Zelensky must go. That was Putin's message to the media. That's his message to the collective West and the Trump administration. He was very clear. Istanbul Plus, June 2024, root causes at a minimum. And you better make up your mind quickly because Russian forces continue to advance. And we cannot sign any agreement with the current regime in Ukraine. So there's going to also have to be some sort of a change in the regime in Ukraine in order to get to any deal, in order to sign any deal. Putin said it's legally impossible to sign a peace treaty with Ukraine now. According to the Russian president, the Ukrainian leadership made a fundamental strategic mistake when it was afraid to hold elections. Ukrainian leader Zelensky lost his legitimate status as the country's president, Putin pointed out. And then he went on to say that there's going to be no unconditional ceasefire. How many times does Russia have to say it? How many times? No unconditional ceasefire. They've said it like a million times now. Forget about the unconditional ceasefire. But he said it again. Forget about the unconditional ceasefire. And he said, look, in order to move towards some sort of a resolution to the conflict in Ukraine, he said what has to happen is that the Ukraine troops, they need to leave Donbas. We're still receiving calls for a cessation of hostilities here, there, and there. Ukrainian troops will withdraw from the territories they occupy, and then the hostilities will cease. If they don't withdraw, we'll achieve this through military means, the president stated, without explicitly naming the territories in question. We know the territories in question. He doesn't need to name them. Putin then went on to talk about the situation on the front, specifically the Zaporozhye direction, where he said that the Russian military is advancing very fast, faster than anyone had anticipated. And he said that the Ukraine forces are in danger of collapsing, not only in the south, but across the entire front. And then he also talked about casualties in October. I believe the number that he put out there, I could be wrong, but he said 47,000 casualties is what Ukraine suffered in October. He then went on to say that they recruited 16,000. Ukraine recruited 16,000 soldiers in October, and 15,000 returned from hospitals. So basically his point was that Ukraine is losing more soldiers, or at least in October, they lost more soldiers than they actually were able to recruit or send back to the front.
Вот в октябре, по-моему, 47 тысяч с лишним было потерь. 47,5 тысяч. они набрали по мобилизации, по насильственной мобилизации, на самом деле, где-то 16,5 тысяч и где-то около 14,5 или 15 вернули из госпиталей. Но если все посчитать, точно с десятыми долями, то минус получается 15 тысяч. А в предыдущем месяце минус был 10 тысяч. То есть разрыв постоянно увеличивается.
Yeah, so Putin's point was that you're losing more than you're actually able to recruit to the conflict. And he basically said this gap is widening and widening. So that was Putin's message there. And he also talked about Europe and how they continue to put out the narrative that Russia is going to invade Europe after Ukraine. If Russia wins in Ukraine, then they're going to invade Europe or start some sort of a conflict with Europe. And Putin said, this is ridiculous. He said, it's absolutely ridiculous that Russia is going to go after Europe. He even said that we'll provide, as Russia-ridden, security guarantees. You see, you want security guarantees? There you go. Putin is saying security guarantees that you go on and on about. Well, we'll give you security guarantees with regards to Europe. We'll give you a European security guarantee. And Putin went on to say that the reason that the European globalists continue to talk about Russia going after Europe is most likely, according to Putin, because they need to keep the MIC going, or because they don't want to deal with their domestic problems, specifically their domestic economic difficulties. The Russian president suggested that European leaders might be trying to create an illusion for their populations or catering to defense companies. Maybe they're trying to prop up their domestic political ratings, given the lamentable state of their economies. But in our eyes, of course, it's just nonsense, complete lies. Putin also went on to tell a reporter about the German economy, saying that the German economy is in recession for 3 years now. And the reason that the German economy is in recession for 3 years and going on four is because it has cut off cooperation with Russia, specifically energy and gas cooperation with Russia. Putin actually said it's not too late for Europe to turn things around if they want. It's still not too late for Europe to turn things around, but I don't see it happening. Amazing. What an amazing place. What an amazing place. Wow. All right. Finally, Putin on Witkoff. He even talked about Witkoff and the leaked audio. He actually said that the audio, it could be fake. But it could be real. Either way, he said the fact that this was leaked was meant to sabotage the negotiations between the U.S. and Russia. He's 100% right about that. And he also said that it's a criminal offense, which is what we've been saying on the Duran. It's what Alexander pointed out on the Duran. It's what Robert Barnes pointed out on a live stream that we did. We got into details, actually, on the leaked audios and how leaking these audios between Witkoff, Ushakov, and Dmitriev could be illegal, could be a criminal offense, and Putin said as much. And he also said that the attacks on Witkoff are probably about about sabotage, but also the fact that the people that want to keep the conflict in Ukraine going most likely want to keep it going because, according to Putin, they want to steal money together with the Ukrainian establishment and continue the hostilities to the last Ukrainian. That's a direct quote from the Russian president. So that was Putin in Kyrgyzstan. I think everything is pretty clear now. So if I was the Trump administration, if I was U.S. President Trump, if I was Ukraine, if I was Europe, I would take Istanbul Plus. I would tell Zelensky to go, and the U.S. and the Trump administration absolutely has the power to tell Zelensky to skedaddle. You're out, Zelensky. Let's get elections, a new government in place, a government that's friendly to Moscow. It can also be friendly to the West, but let's get a government that can work with Russia, and let's wrap this thing up and accept Istanbul Plus. Root cause is June 2024. That's what you do if you're making a smart decision. That's what you do. That's the smart decision. But that's not what's going to happen. And we know that's not what's going to happen. Anyway, those are the terms. Once again, that Russia has laid out. Not the first time that they have talked about these terms. It's not going to be, maybe it'll be the last time that these terms are on the table, to be quite honest. This may be the last time that these terms will be presented, because as the Russian military continues to advance, things are going to change. But that's where we are with Project Ukraine. By the way, Orban, he is going to be in Moscow today. Of course, Orban is going to speak with Putin about Project Ukraine. I would not be surprised if Orban spoke with Trump, and he is going to deliver some messages from the White House, from Trump. That would not surprise me at all. And Orban is also going to speak to Russia about energy and oil and the purchase of the Serbian energy refinery company, NIS, I believe it's called, by the Hungarian company MOL. And these were the companies that were going to fall under Trump's Rosneft Lukoil sanctions that have come into effect, actually. And so they had some big problems that they had to deal with because of the oil sanctions by the Trump administration. So the workaround that they came up with, the deal that came into place, was that MOL of Hungary was going to buy the Serbian oil and energy company. And Orban needs to go to Moscow, I imagine, to figure all of this out, to finalize the deal, because I believe it was Lukoil had stakes in both of these companies in Hungary and in Serbia. But the main reason for Orban's visit, obviously, is to talk about Project Ukraine. The only sane and rational voice in Europe, Orban and Fico, the two rational, sane voices in Europe when it comes to Project Ukraine. We also got the news that Putin will be going to India on December 4th and 5th, since we're talking about Russian oil and Trump always going on about how he was successful to get India to stop doing business with Russia, to stop purchasing Russian oil. Well, Putin's going to be going to India to see his good friend Modi on the 4th and the 5th, which is a clear signal that the whole policy of Besant and of Trump to break India off of Russia and off of BRICS has failed and will fail. So let's shift gears and Let's talk about the tragedy in D.C., maybe an update on the tragedy in D.C. And yesterday I reported that both of the National Guard's soldiers, National Guard soldiers, that they died in this shooting in D.C. Later on in the evening my time, there were reports that they underwent surgery and they were going to possibly make it. They were going to possibly survive. Unfortunately, this morning I woke up and one of the National Guard's soldiers, she died from the shooting. After the surgery, she did not make it. So rest in peace. The other person that was shot is still in critical condition. This was confirmed by U.S. President Trump, by the way. The update on the shooter is that this person was working with the CIA from Afghanistan, went to the United States under the program where they were granted entry into the United States and asylum if they had worked with the U.S. military in Afghanistan. So they were fast-tracked through to the United States, and this person was working with the CIA in Kabul. And this was confirmed by Ratcliffe. Afghan suspect in D.C. shooting had worked with CIA. This person reportedly helped guard U.S. troops at Kabul airport after the Taliban takeover. So that news was also announced. Trump, for his part, what he is doing now is he is expanding the list of countries that will not be able to seek asylum or immigrate into the United States. Actually, I think the list also is a block on countries that want to travel to the U.S., citizens of countries that want to travel to the U.S. I think this is a tourist block as well, a tourism block from Trump. It's a pretty long list of countries. But that's the action that Trump is taking. He also spoke to the media about Venezuela, and he said that there is going to be some sort of a land operation in order to get to the traffickers, the fentanyl traffickers, of which very little to none, that's my understanding of things, comes from Venezuela. But the narrative is fentanyl from Venezuela, and Maduro is in charge of some sort of non-existent drug cartel, and this non-existent drug cartel has been placed on the terrorist list. And Trump is now saying, forget about operations by sea. We are now going to begin operations. Let's look at this church. Operations by land. Which, if true, then that pretty much means a military operation against Venezuela, right? What else could he mean when he says land operations in order to stop the fentanyl drug trafficking by Venezuela? That means some sort of military operation into Venezuela. St. Sophia Basilica. Let's see the quote from U.S. President Trump. You have probably noticed that people do not want to deliver cargo by sea, and we will start obstructing them on land as well. It's easier on land, but this will start very soon, according to Trump. We are also getting reports that Trump told the new prime minister of Japan, who, according to Trump, is the best prime minister ever of Japan. Anyway, he told her to tone it down when it comes to Taiwan and China, because she was talking very tough towards China, saying that if there's any type of military action connected to Taiwan, then Japan is going to enter into a conflict over Taiwan with China. And then Xi Jinping actually called Trump, which is pretty unprecedented for a Chinese leader to call a U.S. leader. Hasn't happened in a long, long time. And Xi Jinping probably told Trump, you better tell Japan to calm it down, because obviously Japan would not be coming out with this type of rhetoric if it had not been okayed by the U.S. There's no way that the Prime Minister of Japan would threaten China unless it was approved and sanctioned by someone very high up in the United States. So it looks like Xi Jinping told Trump, you better stop or else, or you better tell Japan to calm it down or else, I don't know, no rare earths for you. And Trump did it. He told Japan's PM to lower the volume on Taiwan, according to Wall Street Journal reports. So let's see if we can take a quick look into the cathedral. I'm pretty sure you cannot film. Maybe we can just get a little look inside. Yeah, you can't film. I can see the signs. So, anyway, let's walk around this beautiful structure. So, what else should we talk about? How about some clown worlds? How about we wrap things up with a couple of clown worlds? It's been a long video. We've done some good sightseeing. So the first clown world is a good one. Real good one. Remember the whole Louvre robbery? That heist that happened at the Louvre? Well, according to the Times UK, there's some sort of Slavic connection. That's right. There's a Slavic connection, according to the Times. Of course there is. And when they mean Slavic connection, they mean Russian connection, right? That's what they mean when they talk about a Slavic connection. This is according to the Times UK. Hapless. They're hapless. Hapless thieves. Hapless Louvre gang recruited by men with Slavic accents. According to Mats Nielsen, French police stated that the Algerian thieves who committed the daring robbery in October were hired by people with a Slavic accent. But that's not all. The Times Today, citing the French police, reported high-ranking French officials suggested that the robbery might be connected to attempts by Eastern Europeans to destabilize the situation in France, and French intelligence tracked that the trail leads to Russia. Of course it does. Of course it does. Did you have any doubts? I had no doubt. I had no doubt that eventually they would connect this to Russia, of course. The hapless Louvre gang recruited by men with Slavic accents. Oh, man. Did they catch all of those guys? I don't think they caught all of the thieves, did they? I believe they caught maybe one or two at the airport, but I think a couple of them might have gotten away, so they're not that hapless if they got away. So let's go to the next news story, which of course is stunning and brave. Kaya Kallas, after her epic statement yesterday on Project Ukraine, talk about Ukraine losing is false, Kaya Kallas said. And then she went on to say that Russia in the last 100 years, Russia has attacked or invaded 100 countries. Quite an interesting comment from Stunning and Brave. But she went on to, I believe this was a Ukraine media channel. She went on to this media channel for an interview. And she stated that, and I quote, a very quick path to peace is not beneficial for Ukraine. There you go. That's a pretty in-your-face admission from the EU when Kaja Kallas says a very quick path to peace is not beneficial for Ukraine. What she really means is that it's not beneficial to the EU or to the globalists. A quick peace, any peace, is not beneficial to the globalists, to the MIC. That's basically what she means. Quite an admission from Kallas. So that was Stunning and Brave. And a final clown world. How about Mertz? I believe he was in Angola, along with other EU officials attending an EU-Africa summit. And according to media reports, Mertz did not like the bread in Angola, in Africa. He was complaining about the lack of good bread in Africa. BlackRock Mertz. He misses German bread for breakfast in Angola, according to media reports. Mertz, he's very particular about his bread. BlackRock Mertz. He's a bread connoisseur. Anyway, that's Mertz complaining and whining about bread in Angola, on his trip to Angola. Poor Mertz. The problems of Chancellor Mertz, huh? I don't like the bread. Just don't like the bread. It's no good. I just want to go back to Germany where there's good bread. BlackRock Mertz, everybody. That is the video. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We're on Telegram. Go to the Duran Shop. Pick up some merch. And also check us out on Substack. We are on Substack. And I am also trying to put up articles every other day on Substack and on Locals. Articles exclusive to Substack and Locals. So check us out there. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.